Good morning. This is Tom Merritt, host of Daily Tech News Show, Cord Killers and Current Geek, and author of Pilot X, now available at TomMerrittBooks.com. And you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for March 14th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
Stephen McFodor, this is Chippy O'Hessenflow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Chip is starting early. It is St. Patrick's Day. Time to let's see. Let's see if I can get some sound effects. Oh, that sounds good.
Yes, we're having the Irish breakfast. If we could not be... Oh, look at that. You spilled it all over yourself. If we could be more offensive with our fake accents and just assuming that the Irish drink beer.
Sound effects, though.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. You brought over some Irish stout.
There we go. It looks like Guinness, but it's Murphy's.
It's like Guinness, only different. It's beautiful.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. Happy St. Patrick's Day
to
everybody.
It takes a few minutes for the head to set up just perfectly.
Oh, it's beautiful.
We'll be enjoying it during the recording of the show.
Hopefully by the end of the show, it'll be a much different show.
Oh, St. Patrick's things going on in Chicago were last Saturday. So we've got a few things coming up. We've got some...
So the river's still green for now.
It's still green for now.
But it's more green than normal.
Well, anyway, there are all sorts of things going on in the Chicago area this week to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
So happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Irish listeners and to everybody who thinks they're Irish for this week.
And Caesar, tomorrow, just watch out. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
On the Ides of March.
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You have been able to watch movies this week. I am in the middle of musical season. I know that TV and movies exist.
Well, I've been busy, too. I really haven't had a chance to see a lot, but I did end up seeing the movie Wiener.
Okay.
Which is about Anthony Wiener.
Right.
The New York... he was running for New York City mayor.
And he used to be a congressman.
He did. And he had a scandal.
A bit of a controversy.
Where he kind of was... maybe was showing his parts on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I can't confirm or deny. And we're going to find out who's been hacking
into
that. We're
going to identify whether or not this is actually a wiener or not. No, it's an Anthony Wiener.
Well, Anthony Wiener, it was his. Mm-hmm. And he ended up resigning. He ended up marrying who became Hillary Clinton's aide to run for the president.
And then there was a whole question mark about that piece of scandal in that camp as well.
All I can say is Anthony Wiener is definitely a very charismatic guy, certainly very likable, but a man who makes questionable decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He was running for mayor. He seems to have risen above the scandal. We're in the United States. People enjoy the person to rise up again. Here, cheers to everyone.
And that's how we rise up.
That's right. Well, anyway, Anthony seemed to have another scandal. It went right back to the same thing. And his staff sat in a meeting. They were like, we're angry at you. How can you do this? Anthony Wiener's kind of looking at him like, well, you know, I'm really sorry about this. But the deal was he made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
He had risen above it. He had taken the lead in the New York City mayoral race. And then had another scandal, self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
I think he eventually had to divorce. It isn't part of this film, but I think he eventually divorced his wife. I enjoyed this sort of insight into his life. A person running for office has to kind of have some hubris, and you get shot down all the time. You got to be able to rise above it. You're going to have scandals that are going to be part of you. Not necessarily this type of scandal, but you're going to vote for something that somebody didn't like. And you're going to have to defend yourself. I mean, people take pot shots at you all the time. Think of Obama as president. Think of Trump as president. Mm-hmm. It's like you're the punching bag.
Yeah, I'm not sure why anybody would run for office. I have no aspirations to that. And I admire people who do because they're in the spotlight. And every little piece, every tiny little word that they say is somebody is going to be angry about.
Well, I will say that I really enjoyed this on a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being very good. I would say 70.
Okay.
70. So this, I would say, pretty good. If you have interest in politics or following somebody who ran for politics and seeing a person who just cannot help but just put, you know, beat himself up. Anthony Weiner would be a good person to do that. I have no idea what type of job he's going to do after this. Mm-hmm. Maybe a consultant. Maybe moving back to D.C. And working underneath somebody. Who knows?
Politics is like the original reality show. We are seeing the lives of these people under this microscope and seeing what kind of people they are. This movie goes into that a little bit.
We're going to become very liberal with people having strange habits. You can think of what the internet has done and things like that. In addition, being in a bubble, like micromanaging your local sports team, think of sports radio. I don't listen to sports radio anymore because there's nothing I can do that's going to micromanage the Bears into success.
They have a new quarterback.
Oh, well, they do. And Cutler, we wish Cutler the best.
Yes, we do. But, bye.
But my point is that we've got, you know, politics has become the same thing. We constantly want to look in, micromanage, and control them. Like Steve said, he would only go left or mm-hmm. only go right. And he, look at this. He took a turn,
yep.
And it was not as he said he would do it. He's obviously a liar.
Right.
Well, we got at some point we'll have to get to there's thinking people, and we're going to have to allow people to think. And think of more than one step ahead. So anyway, let's get to what this week's movies are.
This week, if you don't want to do as much thinking, you can get back to the superhero movies. This week on Netflix, we're going to get our Marvel's Iron Fist.
All right. So we get to learn about Danny Rand,
mm-hmm.
who was actually Luke Cage's big buddy in the comics. Very 70s-ish kind of guy. But this is the latest in the Netflix Marvel series. So we have the two Daredevil series, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
And now this is the last piece of the Defenders. This is a group that they are going to assemble, like the Avengers, mm-hmm. into a team of people that are working in New York City.
The street fighting people.
Yes.
So, and after that, they have the Punisher. And I think Jessica Jones has been green light for
second season.
Okay. And Daredevil third season. So, my goodness, right. There's no doubt that Netflix and Marvel are all in.
Yeah, expectations are high on this one. I think that this is going to be as good as those previous ones, but we'll have to see. This is going to drop on Netflix on the 17th.
But that's not it, Steve. Netflix has more things to give us.
That's right. This is really interesting. I did not hear anything about this. You put it in the show notes for us today. It's called Julie's Green Room, and the Julie here is a teacher who's going to show us all the things that we need to know about performing arts from a child perspective. With a bunch of puppets.
It's going to have Mary Poppins in it.
Oh, the Julie is Julie Andrews.
We have Julie Andrews, who Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. So we have a person we already enjoy. And then you have Jim Henson.
Jim Henson puppets. I mean, okay, you sold me at Julie Andrews, and then you threw puppets in it. This is Sesame Street, but the performing arts education piece of Sesame Street. I'm all in for this.
All right, so and this is aimed at young children.
Right.
So a 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old,
mm-hmm.
7-year-old, if they're going to watch television, and especially streaming television, this would be right along their level.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, instead of the focus being like the ABCs and things like this, this is more like, you know, dancers, like ballet type dance, mm-hmm. jazz dance. This is talking about a little acting,
right.
Comedy, Broadway singing. So it's more the, I would say the high arts. Maybe.
Oh, this is fantastic. I mean, I love my Bill Nye the Science Guy. I love my science TV shows. I enjoy Electric Company and Sesame Street for reading and those skills. This is a set of skills that teaching children could really blossom the field of performing arts here.
Well, if you are a person who has a young person in your family, mm-hmm. or can turn something on and not have one look at you weird,
uh-huh.
This would be an interesting thing to check out.
I'm excited about
that. Idina Menzel is in the first.
She is on the first episode of this, and I look forward to seeing this again. It's coming out on the 17th on Netflix.
That's not it.
Oh, this weekend. This weekend is a big weekend for openings. I've got My Musical opening on Thursday, and Beauty and the Beast, the live-action Disney movie, is opening in theaters this weekend.
And Hermione's going to star in it, right?
Yeah, all of the reviews have been stellar on her performance. Everything looks really good for this. I really look forward to this. Beauty and the Beast is such a wonderful piece. It was designed to be a Broadway musical from the beginning.
Howard Ashman started working with Disney after he wrote Little Shop of Horrors for Off-Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and it had done really well. His first musical part of Disney was The Little Mermaid, and right. we got a taste of what was going to come with the next film, which was Beauty and the Beast, he sold himself to Disney by saying that Disney's properties were Broadway musicals waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got three or four songs on The Little Mermaid, but truly, Beauty and the Beast led its way to what became The Lion King, mm-hmm. and eventually Beauty and the Beast made its way to Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got all those wonderful songs there, and then you've got this, you know, what we have is a live-action version.
With a great cast. With a great cast coming in for this one. Josh Gad, who is like the king of Broadway in a lot of ways right
sure.
now, is there.
He's a snowman in Frozen.
Right. That is a good indication of where they're headed with this. That is a Broadway voice doing cartoons. Now, this is a live-action version of a cartoon. Disney's got the ball rolling on this stuff.
If you have a young person, this mm-hmm. would be a wonderful thing to see this week.
Well, not only that, but all of my theater kids. All of my theater kids eat this stuff up. They have parties and go and watch these movies together.
It's a little town in a quiet village.
I love that music. We played that music again the other day. It is just beautiful, wonderful music. We put Beauty and the Beast on the stage a couple of years ago.
Did you?
And it was a really fun, big production.
Bonjour.
Oh, that's right. We've got a couple of smaller movies coming out this week. Atomica is sci-fi.
It's sci-fi.
Yeah.
S-Y-F-Y.
I don't know what that word is, but this is sci-fi. Science fiction, this story. The trailer on this one, if you click on it in our show notes, the trailer on this one is really intriguing. It reminds me of so many other science fiction properties that I've been looking at mm-hmm. for the last 35 years. This one gets my attention.
Well, the goal, of course, with any science fiction, it's got to have enough believability
mm-hmm.
to take you on the ride.
Science. Yes.
And then you have, you know, the things where it kind of scares you and hits all those nerves yeah. that are kind of open and ready to be. Okay.
This trailer does that for me. Atomica. It's going to be on Sci-Fi. I will find a way to watch that one.
Betting on Zero is a documentary. It's basically going after Herbalife. Just pyramid schemes.
Pyramid schemes in general. There's okay. so many of those pyramid schemes. I have Facebook friends who always have something that they want to sell me.
Like Girl Scout cookies. Just uh-huh. pyramid.
No, oh, those Girl Scouts. They love their pyramids. So that one's called Betting on Zero. It's probably a very interesting documentary on
sure.
that. Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you picked up a book on Tuesday.
This is the second time
this year
that a book has been released
uh-huh.
and we're reviewing it for the following week. That
I'm
means I read it.
I'm very proud of you. You get an A.
Oh yes, I feel great. Interesting. I have two books I bought on Saturday. I'm sorry, on Tuesday when they were released. And I've gotten through two books
wow.
this week. But the second one I'll have to review a few weeks
okay, from. Let's talk about this one. This one was called A Generation of Sociopaths, How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America. It's by Bruce Cannon Gibney.
All right, so Bruce Cannon Gibney was a hedge fund manager.
Okay.
He was part of a number of Silicon Valley deals. Facebook was one that he worked underneath. I think he had worked maybe at PayPal, too, underneath that, too. That's not the reason. I mean, that's just to give him sort of a flavor of where he lives and maybe what he had been around. The title obviously is going to be off-putting.
I thought that immediately when I saw the title.
But the point of a title is to get you intrigued. And so I'm going to say that if you ignore the title, and even if you ignore his conclusions at the end, you will glean a lot of fun information by looking through this. So he's got a background as a legal person. So what he's trying to do is paint a case through the entire book. And basically, he's trying to say that the rise of the baby boomer, the largest demographic up until maybe last year when the millennials finally overtook baby boomers, mm-hmm. As population-wise, has had some negative consequences. And that previous generations had built the United States a certain way, and that the boomers took a dramatic change from the norms up till that time. Now, like I said, you don't have to agree with his conclusion or his initial premise to enjoy the ride and the data he basically is going to be reporting on. He talks about infrastructure. He talks about education. He talks about the rise of television and the impact it has and how television may have a greater impact. We don't know the impact that the internet ultimately is going to have on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because our kids grew up with it, just part of their lives.
Right.
But we can study what television has done to society and potentially has changed how we view society. The rise of divorce. I mean, you just name it. It gets covered in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got numbers. He's got graphs. He's pulling from places that we would say are reasonably credible. And his solutions are, like I said, you don't have to agree with him. His solutions are that you know, we cannot saddle our current generation with significant amount of debt to go to college. These undergraduate degrees, are they worth $150,000? Are they worth $100,000? Well, for a young person making payments on that you're saddling with $1,000 payment a month or more,
mm-hmm.
or more. I don't want to go through all his points because he wants to lay out his case the way he does. Mm-hmm. I can say that it is a very elegant case. It's an elegant book for doing that. His conclusions and his beliefs don't necessarily follow with mine, but I can understand where he's coming from. And one of the things I immediately thought of as I'm reading this, on April 4th, our local community has an election coming up. And one of the things we're going to be voting on is another, we have a train track that goes in between our town. In our town was a small town that's growing. And anyway, on one side of the track, we have a fire station. Well, what if you lived on the other side and there was a train that came through it?
Mm-hmm.
So what a community would ideally do is create another fire station on the other side of the community. And the reality is the time it takes for the firemen, the emergency technicians to get to your home determines whether your home can be saved, determines whether you live. I mean, the statistics are all there.
Mm-hmm.
So do we agree to pay more taxes for that to happen? Or the question is, why wasn't this planned on when the communities were built?
Right.
Well, anyway, it doesn't really matter. The point is we've got to address things today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of that as I'm reading, because that's part of what...
Because the voting block is still majority that baby boom generation.
Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to suggest that... That's the type of dilemma that society has to come to terms with,
mm-hmm.
whether they value something or not, and how they want to pay for it. And I really love this book. I mean, I want to say that I'm so glad he put it together.
Mm-hmm.
It is elegant, and I would love to see a rebuttal of this book in another type of book, because... it's got so much, just packed of information.
That's awesome. It's called A Generation of Sociopaths, How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America by Bruce Cannon Gibney, and you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. That brings us to our Appetiter app of the week, and it's March.
It is March.
It's March.
It's not just St. Patrick's Day there, Steve.
It's not just musical season.
Cheers to St. Patrick's cheers. Day! It's also March Madness starts this week, the NCAA tournament, which
yes.
is probably the premier sporting event in the United States.
Really? You think that this is the number one sporting event in the United States because it's so overarching?
Because so many teams can qualify for it. Now, Super Bowl is really big. Okay.
But it's only one day.
And the Daytona 500 is really big.
Okay.
Okay, but this right here, this is a tournament that 68 teams get to compete in, and they will eventually have a champion over a course of 4 weeks. So it's kind of like if you go back to the movies, it's like Hoosiers, but you know, across the United States. And this is where a school like your school, which was Bradley,
not in Peoria, Illinois, yep.
And my school, George Mason, my team made it to the Final Four 1 year.
Oh.
So we can compete with the powerhouses of Duke and Carolina. And let's go ahead and make this known right now, because we're recording this right before they've announced who the 64 teams are going to, or 68 teams are going to be.
Right.
But we want to congratulate Northwestern University. Northwestern was the last of the Power Conference teams to have never competed in the NCAA tournament.
Really?
And they are going to compete this year.
Well, congratulations to Northwestern.
So now we have to cheer for William & Mary, because they're another school that has never competed in the NCAA tournament. But This is what how you can compete. We are announcing, too much scrolling, that we are going to have our own tournament challenge.
All right.
So if you go to our notes, if you go to our Twitter feed, or you go to our Facebook feed, you're going to be able to find a place where you can click in, and you can fill out your own bracket and mm-hmm. compete against the other people who listen to Too Much Scrolling.
So a bracket is a document where you choose the winner of this tournament.
Yes, and you're going to say, well, I don't know anything about college basketball.
I don't know anything about college basketball, Chip.
That's a great point. So, Steve, you can tell us, Steve, what are the chances of somebody potentially picking a perfect bracket?
The odds are insurmountable, so much so that Warren Buffett this year has actually said that if you pick the perfect bracket through his system, he will give you $1 million a year for the rest of your life.
So the chances of getting a perfect bracket are virtually non-existent.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. Now, what we can tell you is that a 16 seed has never beat a number one seed. So if you're looking at a number one seed and they're playing a number 16 seed, don't pick the number 16 seed.
So the number one seed would be the
highest,
most likely to win, and the number 16 seed would be the lowest, least likely to win.
Correct. There's four brackets within the overall tournament.
Okay.
So there are 64 teams that are going to be competing. Wow. And you have until Thursday, by the way. Thursday morning, I guess 10 o'clock is when the games will start.
Central time.
Yeah, so you're going to want to fill it out, you know, tonight, tomorrow would be a good day.
Get on this. This is your homework for tonight, kids. Get to our website and fill out your bracket.
But a number of 15 seeds have beaten two seeds.
Hmm.
And, you know, the higher the seed, the more likely you are to win. So
right.
a two should win over a 15. But there have been some 15s that have some fun. And then, you know, it gets really interesting when you get to the 8-9 seed, which is the team where you're looking at. It's like a coin toss who would win that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the point being is go ahead and pick that out. And what we'll do is we're going to have a winner.
All right.
And we may put together a little prize package for you.
Yeah, we'll ship it out.
And we'll get it out to you.
I'm listening to Too Much Scrolling bumper sticker for you. I'll send it right out. I don't have any t-shirts yet. We need to get to a t-shirt level on Patreon, but we'll get t-shirts one day.
I'll have some fun. But anyway, this is something that in the past, I can tell you some people have been fired for this. The Washington coach, football coach, was part of a pool, and they had all put in money. Anyway.
Gambling.
He ended up losing his job. So, you mm-hmm. know, because he was in this pool. Mm-hmm. So this is not that type of pool. You don't put any money in for
Good.
It. We just have a winner, and it's just for fun. And if you want to go do something, go to Vegas.
So all week you're going to be watching this on TV, right? This is your week.
Well, you can, yes, because if I'm working in the office, I'll have it in the background. Because mm-hmm. these games will play from, say, 10 o'clock in the morning to maybe midnight. And when I was a kid, I remember watching North Carolina State. This is 83. This is the year they won the NCAA tournament. They played Pepperdine in one of the earlier games, and they played in California. I want to say that game ended maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning.
My goodness.
And I had to go to school the next day, so it was a Thursday night game. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. You're going to find a school like my school, George Mason, or Butler, or Virginia Commonwealth, that's going to have a Valparaiso a few years ago. They'll have a run in the NCAA tournament that you didn't think they had a chance to win, but they just had all the seniors that just put it all together. This is true fun competition because everyone can compete. Anyway, you can watch this on apps. So on your iPhone or on your Google phone, just look for the NCAA March Madness app.
I'm sure that they have a bevy of them.
Well, CBS is the company that has the rights to show this.
Okay.
So it's going through their app.
Okay.
Now, if you want to watch it on television, in the old days, you would watch just CBS and it would flip from game to game to game to game. No, no, no. We're in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
So we have CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV. These are all CBS companies.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the game that you want to watch. The tournament actually will start this evening with the first four, and they compete to be able to get into basically the big tournament, which starts Thursday.
Hmm.
So tonight, I think it may be on ESPN. You can watch the first four.
Okay.
But anyway, the point being is starting on Thursday, this is the great tournament starts, And you can be part of it.
There you go. Go to our website and sign up for your bracket. Make your choices before the games start on Thursday. You got a limited amount of time to get that done.
I'm having another sip of the old Murphy's.
Brings us to our Now the News segment. You know those three little words that everyone wants to hear? Those three little words... Who are you?
Steve, it seems like there was like a Star Wars clip that was released this week.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars. Luke Skywalker says those three words. Those are the first three words that Luke Skywalker has said since the Return of the Jedi. Who are you?
Steve's Christmas gift that Disney keeps giving him.
It's great. It is fantastic that it comes out around Christmas time. It is a celebration of my real true religion, Star Wars.
All right, so let's set this up because everyone, I'm assuming, has seen Star Wars. At the end of Rey is climbing up this island in climbing up the mountain in the middle of
a
sea.
Giant ocean.
She gets to the top and Luke is staring really, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the movie ends. I just gave away all the spoilers.
There you go. There's the end of that movie.
But that's not all. No. We get the next part of it, mm-hmm. and that's Luke looking at Rey going, Who are you?
Those are the first three words of this movie. This has been released. This is not anything that's spoilery, but boy, are those three words spoilery.
And she goes, I'm Rey Kenobi.
I'm your daughter. You left me with the guy on the other planet. I don't know what's going to happen.
And here's your lightsaber.
Oh, I found this. You dropped this. Your hand was attached to it. I had to take your hand off.
Well, the build-up's coming. At some point, we're going to start getting some more trailers. But anyway, my assumption is those trailers will start coming, maybe with Guardians of the Galaxy. What do you think?
So maybe I have to stop watching TV like real soon because I don't watch trailers.
Awesome.
I will not watch the trailers. I know about this because it's been advertised, and now I have to go fully Jeff Cannata and not watch any trailers.
You know, the nice part about the world and how it's improving is that Steve may actually have access to like all the Star Wars films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just... Maybe on a single atom, he can carry around with him all the time.
IBM is working on some new technology. They are cramming information into an object the size of an atom. The amount of storage that we could potentially have at that scale is mind-boggling.
All right, so the interesting part about this is they're saying that if you took your entire music library,
mm-hmm.
you could put it on maybe the size of a penny today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that with this new technology that they're working, it's not ready yet, but they would put the entire Apple music library mm-hmm. on the size of that same penny.
That's amazing.
Well, you could basically save everything. My goodness. All data could be like on the size of a quarter.
Storage gets cheaper and smaller and faster. Computing speed gets smaller and faster and cheaper. That Moore's Law is still in effect here. And my God, we could have all the information that you need implanted into a chip in your wrist. Oh. If your medical records are literally in your body and you wind up in the emergency room.
That sounds like a science fiction story. A short story written to write it now.
And it won't go wrong at all. Don't worry.
They're going to send Steve like on a trip and he doesn't even know what he's going to trip for.
Huh? We'll get to The Ghost in the Shell in a couple of weeks because that movie's coming out and the ideas of that science turning into fiction.
That's not the only great science story of this week. Tell us about the other one.
All right. So, 94-year-old John Goodenough, and what a great name Goodenough is.
I think we should have a little drink to John Goodenough.
John Goodenough, who was the pioneer of the lithium-ion battery in 1980, he has still continued his work. He's 94 years old now, and he has developed a sodium-based battery that is something like 100 times more powerful, can hold more energy than that lithium battery that has revolutionized most of what we do.
All right, so we fill up our laptop with fuel. So we're basically filling up the battery. And maybe we can get, for some people we get 4 hours, some people get eight, some mm-hmm. get 12. Okay, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about potentially plugging it in and having it last for a month.
Mm-hmm. This is potential. The solid-state battery, this sodium-based battery, could hold that energy and use it much more efficiently. 1 gram of this battery could be... enough to power what you need, as opposed to a 24-gram AA.
And what that really is showing is that battery is the next great technology.
We've talked about this many times.
We're going to have to improve. In fact, Elon Musk this week was talking to an Australian community and basically said, hey, I can set you all up within 100 days or it's free to you.
That's right.
Talk about just throwing something out
there. And the fact that that was thrown out there on Twitter was even better for that story, because Elon Musk was just talking to another billionaire saying, hey, yeah, we can do this. And if I don't do it, if I don't get your pizza there in 30 minutes, it's free.
All right, so we've got some sad news on the internet, and it's a little about UC Berkeley.
Yeah, the University of California, Berkeley is going to delete some online content. This sounds like crazy.
All right, so University of California, Berkeley is one of the great world universities, and what they've done on the internet, they basically threw a whole bunch of podcasts, recordings of shows, YouTube, they just threw them out there, and you could, with your time, instead of going to the UC Berkeley, you can basically just watch a teacher. And this is one of the great things about the Stanford, Duke, New York University, University of Chicago, Northwestern. All these schools have classes. They've just thrown on the lectures onto YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But the sad part is they have to be taken down. And the reason being is the American and Disabilities Act.
Yeah, it's a really strange story, but the idea is if this information is not accessible to all people in whatever capacity they have, if they have hearing impairments or visual impairments or what have you, then they are against the law to have these out there.
And just think about that. It's too costly to go back and redo all those.
Mm-hmm.
So what UC Berkeley is going to spend is about 6 months taking this stuff off the internet, and they're going to put it behind a wall. Basically,
yeah.
you can still get to it, it sounds like, but you'll have to go through a wall to get through it.
It's frustrating.
Well, it's just, you know, it giveth and taketh.
Yeah.
And this is just part of a modern society. And anyway, just what happens at times.
Yeah. So we're going to have a little bit less information from the UC Berkeley, but the information is certainly growing. And as the new information is being added, we're certainly going to be thinking of how it can be accessed.
Steve, I'm having my beer here. I'm my Irish beer. It is almost St. Patrick's Day. I've got basketball coming up.
And a musical.
So tell me something. That's right, a musical.
That's all I'm focused on. You can talk to me about basketball all you want.
So tell me some good news for the Irish people.
The Irish people on Mars are going to be happy because scientists have finally made the math work that they think they can successfully grow potatoes on Mars.
So the idea would be to send all the Irish people to Mars.
And all the Native Americans to a different planet so that they can find happiness.
So we can have St. Patrick's Day on Mars all the time.
Oh my goodness. We're running into a future here that looks a lot like a comedy sketch. If those of you who watch Futurama, this is pretty much what happened, is every ethnic group gets their own planet.
Well, anyway, the point is that they're showing that we can grow food.
Uh-huh.
On Mars.
Specifically potatoes.
It's like the book
uh-huh.
in the movie.
Yeah, Mark Watney is sitting in the corner going, yeah, I know. So we've got all sorts of things to celebrate. This is going to be a great holiday. We have so much in front of us. Go to our website. Go to our show notes. Sign up for your bracket. You have until Thursday morning at some point before the first game tips off. That's the term for basketball. Tips off.
Tips off.
Sometime on Thursday morning. Do that. You have homework this week, guys. I think we have enough information, enough potatoes, and enough beer to survive another week. What do you think,
Only
Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. If you need more information, there's so many places to find more information. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
Steve McFodor. This is Chip O'Hessenflow. Have a great day.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about is what I want to thank you for. What I want to